The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. If you want, you can give me a call, and all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. It's easy. The last four digits spell C-A-R-M on your phone, or on a dial, I guess you could say. And if you want to just type that in, you can do that. 877-207-2276. All right. And we don't have anybody waiting right now, so, you know, you can call me if you want. Also, one of the options is you can email me, and you can email me at info@carm.org, info@carm.org. And there we go. Let's see. So I'm looking at some of the emails right now. We got radio questions and stuff like that. So there you go. All right. Simple. Well, that was easy. Hey, oh, and by the way, if you want to watch, you can join us and join a bunch of people who are in the chat area, in the chat room and stuff. You can go to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live, and that should get you right in there. And I think that's about it. So last night I was on, I'm trying to think of it, Clubhouse, golly. And I do a Wednesday night thing at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Do it for a couple of hours where I just answer questions. And this atheist guy comes in the room. And another atheist guy. It was really nice. I mean, no problem. We had a great time talking. But this one kid comes in, demanding, pushy, and spoke very quickly and then trying to force answers out of me very rapidly. And I said, slow down. And he continued to overtalk. I said, hey, slow down. Then he started insulting me. And then he said he was going to attack my wife. And, man. And so he got booted pretty quickly. And I tried to find out how to ban him or report him, but I couldn't figure it out, even though Joanne righteously reminded me, hey, you got to do that. And I tried to do it, but I couldn't figure it out. So anyway, that's what it is. And we have a prayer ministry also run by Joanne. If you want to, you can email us your prayer requests at prayer@carm.org, prayer@carm.org. You know, if you've got an issue, you know, and you just need prayer and maybe even someone to talk to, because they're pretty good there. And Joanne does a good job at that, and she runs the, during the radio show, she supervises the Clubhouse thing. And she did it last night, too. Does a good job. And Charlie, he's helping out in the room, and we got people, let's see, in the Rumble area, and there you go. All right. Hey, having said all that, why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. I think what I'm going to do is get to some of the calls. Let's get to a call. We've got some callers coming in, but let me get to an email here. This is a good one. I used to listen to Hank Hanegraaff often. And I'm not asking to judge his heart, but his full acceptance of Eastern Orthodoxy has this placed him into a false religion. Yes, it has. He seems to have a fallen heart. Yes, that's true. Yeah, it's true. And I can't trust Hank Hanegraaff. I've met the guy, and I used to do volunteer work at CRI when it was in Southern California, and it was interesting, and I got to meet him. Not a big deal. And I know stuff. I won't say with the radio. And I've had some connections with people on the inside over there when Dr. Walter Martin died and he took over. And I've got information from both sides and stuff. And I'm not surprised that he went to Eastern Orthodoxy. And that is definitely a sign of apostasy. The Eastern Orthodox Church teaches false doctrine when it comes to soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. He's a false teacher there, because it's a false religion. All right, hey, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Nelson from Mexico. Hey, Nelson, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. God bless.
God bless, man. Where are you in Mexico? Can you see the
light? I'm in I'm actually in Colima, Mexico. Okay. It's way down in Mexico. I'm over here on a missionary trip. So.
Oh. Okay. Good.
And yeah, I just seen your. I was like, let me get in the call with Matt, because I've been going through this discussion with a friend of mine who is one. The question is, he believes basically, well, that if a Jewish man or woman who never been born again and keeping the Torah and the religious traditions and all that, if they die, he says they will go to heaven, because that is what God promised. I guess I don't know how he interprets it, but is that true?
No,
because I quoted him scripture that it's not.
Yeah, it's not true. In fact, I might be talking about this tonight in the Bible study that I'm teaching. In Romans 9:24, it says, even as he called people, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. And he says, I call those my people who are not my people. Okay, he goes on. And he says, within in verse 30, the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. So Paul is condemning them. He's saying, look, you know, they rejected the Messiah and are seeking to be justified by the law. They don't have it. So the oneness guy is you know, it's a cult anyway, and he's just teaching false doctrine. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. That same passage you read, I quoted to him with 10
Good.
From verse 1 to 5, and he still doesn't see it.
Okay. Then I would, at that point, when I give him the truth and he doesn't receive it, I'd say, well, by the way, let me ask you, so what do you do to keep yourself right with God? Because it's a cult, and cults always have works they have to do. Just, you know, find out, you know, what it is, and then just put the weight of the law on him. Oh, so you do this, this, and this. I often will take notes from an individual that I'm talking to, and, you know, say, I got my fingers on the lap on my keyboard. What, you know, what things you have to do in order to keep yourself right with God? And I say, well, you got to believe, okay, and what else? Can't see movies or what? Or you can, or you can't lie, or you have to do this, or have to do that. What is it? And they'll give me a list. And so I said, are you doing these things? And then I ask him, are you doing them on the same level as Jesus? Because he's the standard of righteousness. And then if they say, well, I'm trying, well, then you're not doing it. And if they say, yeah, they're good enough that way, they're just being arrogant. So that, you know, that's one of the follow-up things I'll do with them. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Awesome. One more last question before I let you go. I've listened to Dr. Brown, I think Michael Brown. And I heard him say that Calvinism or Reformed theology is not biblical when you look at it in the original manuscripts, according to him.
Yeah, I would gladly have a public debate against him on that. Because the original languages, if anything, support it. And, you know, James White and he are friends. James White's a Calvinist. They've had friendly discussions. I would be glad to debate him. I would. I'd be glad to say, well, no, let's take a look, you know, and see. So the issue is, what does the scripture say? You know, and, you know, one of the things I'll do, I like to go to Colossians 2:14. And where it talks about Jesus having forgiven us all of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt. And I say, what is that certificate of debt? You may go through it. It's only be two things, either the law or the sin debt. And if it's the law that's canceled, then you can't have sin, because Romans 5:13 and Romans 5:14, I think it is, or 5:15, let me check. I'm always learning new verses and stuff. Romans 4:15 says that when there is no law, there is no sin. So if the law has been fulfilled and canceled, removed, then there can't be any sin against anybody. If they say it's a sin debt, then I'm going to ask them, then is a sin debt paid for everybody? Well, yes. Then how can they go to hell? Well, they don't believe, but that's a sin. And it doesn't matter. Because what they want to do is say, well, it's all sin except for this one. But they play games with logic in the text in order to make it fit. So You know, it's I'd be glad to have a discussion with him. You know, I've talked to him before. He's a good guy, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much, Matt. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right.
Appreciate it.
God bless. All right. Now, let me get this straight. I'm reading something in the text of Clubhouse. Clark says, Matt should stop debating lower-tier people of other camps like the monarchianism guy. He was a train wreck. Yeah, it was a train wreck for that guy. I still can't get over the last night. I hope everyone reported him. Yeah, he was bad. He was. That's right. Okay, let's get... We have two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's see. It's Crystal from Utah. Crystal, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I know this is going to seem a little bit silly, but I've been praying a lot for my daughter and her circumstances. And okay. She finally said that she feels like God's working in her life.
Oh, good.
And so I praised God and told her that was awesome. And I was thinking of telling her, because she said she's not sure, so I was thinking of telling her that she just has to pray and ask him if that's true. And I just don't want to discourage her, so is that the right thing to say, or could I say something better?
Oh, well, I'm glad you're the one talking to her, not me, because you say something much better than I would. I can tell, you know, I can tell in your tone that, you know, it's just a strain on you. It's stressful, and there's emotion involved, and, you know, you're hoping, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But you're doing fine, okay? Just love her.
Thank you.
And you know, don't be too pushy, because you know how it is. Mom and dad can say the same thing the neighbor says. They'll listen to the neighbor, but not mom and dad. So you got to just be patient. And moms have that way of being just so good and supportive and touching the heart and everything. So I am sure you're going to do a great job. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. That's good.
All right. So you think that's okay to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Just trust God and move. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate everything you do.
Well, thank you, and praise God, and, you know, I hope it goes well, and let us know, you know, just give a feedback to, you know, sometimes they call up and let us know what's going on.
Okay.
And people will pray for you, too. You know, so your name's Crystal, and we'll just say, everybody pray for Crystal's daughter. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Well, God bless. Okay.
Thank you. You too. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Hey, if you want, give me a call, 877-207-2276. And thanks to Marsha for the $10 rant in Rumble. And what that is, hold on a sec. What that is so people can donate. They often do that. And they like the show, and they write this live. They can just donate and stuff like that. We appreciate that. Which, by the way, if you want to support the ministry, please consider supporting us at CARM, carm.org/donate. And we would really like it. We'd really appreciate it. And, you know, I was thinking about it today, and the number 25 came in my mind. I don't know why, but $25, that's what we would ask on a monthly basis. Not too much, not too little, but it's just enough. Would you please consider that? carm.org/donate. And we'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And let's get to Grant from Utah. Grant, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, sir?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got?
All right. I got a question about 1 John 2:19, I think it was. Talking about the if they were one of us, they would have stayed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then with the verse, if the verse talking about if they were one. The natural man that cannot come to God.
1 Corinthians 2:14 Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then you hear about ministers or pastors leaving the church after 30 years. How does mm-hmm. that work? Help me understand that.
Well, sure. So there can be people who have a false conversion. There could be, like, for example, think of the heretics who teach false doctrine in public, like Joyce Meyer.
Yeah.
And, you know, she taught, and not that I'm aware of, she's never repented of teaching damnable heresy, denying the sufficiency right. of the atoning sacrifice. All right. So hopefully she's repented of that, but I've not heard of it. If anybody knows, if she has, then let me know, because she said that there's no salvation without believing that Jesus went to hell and finished the atonement there. Mm. And that's heresy. That's damnable heresy.
Right.
So, okay. So I'm going to work from this, use her as an example. She would be non-regenerate. She would be a person who thinks they're regenerate and in the place of power and authority and et cetera. And so they stay in that. There can be that, and then she'll find out on the Day of Judgment she's in a lot of trouble. There can be,
yeah.
there are pastors who are actually atheists right now. There's a few. And I've heard about right. them. There's an article written about them. And they can't give, they can't say that they're atheists because they'll lose their job, and that's the only thing they know to do. And so mm-hmm. there's that. Now, in between, we can have people who think they're saved, who keep their salvation. They think they keep their salvation by being good. You know, they don't go to bad movies, and they say, well, I've not committed adultery, so therefore I'm going to stay saved. So their compliance with the law is the means by which they're justified. Well, that's a sign of no regeneration. And so in right. such cases, a lot of times, those who are not regenerate in that respect, what they'll do is gradually get tired of their law-keeping, their self-righteousness, their pride, their arrogance. It weighs upon them, and they start having doubts, and they lose their faith. But it wasn't an ultimately true faith. It was a faith that they had in an idea without being regenerated, and they're gone. And so you can have that. You can also have people who are not covenantally faithful. And that's a little bit further out there theologically as far as the options go, where someone could be, like a Jew, could be covenantally consistent but not be saved right. at the same time, and then leave because of that kind of a thing. It's similar to the last scenario I gave with a non-Jew, you know, someone who's keeping the law, but what they do. Okay?
Right.
So there's options.
Right.
All right.
Okay. Can people still get saved from them?
I didn't understand. They get saved from them? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Of course.
For those false
absolutely.
Witnesses.
Let's say that an atheist pastor gets up and he's just got to do this because people have been asking him to do it. And let's say he gives the salvation message. The power of the message is not in him. The power of the message is in the truth conveyed, whether he believes it or not. And so absolutely, right. people can be saved. And we have to make sure that we don't commit what's called the genetic fallacy. Well, that atheist pastor, false pastor, preached the gospel so people can't get saved with him. No, that's not true. Okay.
Right. Okay.
All right.
I was just wondering about those two verses. And
sure.
I have questions on a lot of things, but I slowly want to put it together so I can have a good point.
Okay. Do you believe that people can lose their salvation?
Only if they're not fully. You know, the false witnesses type of thing.
Well, if they're really saved, truly really saved, can
really
they lose
saved,
that?
If they're truly saved, they cannot lose their salvation.
Good for you. All right. Good for you. All right. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I appreciate your help, man. Thank you. God bless and praise the Lord.
No problem, man. God bless, buddy. All right.
Bye, buddy.
That was Grant from Utah. And now what we're going to do is get to Eric from Charlotte, North Carolina. Eric, welcome. You're on the air.
All right. Thank you, Brother Matt. Can you hear me clearly enough?
Yes, I can.
All right, great, because I'm traveling. I don't know if there's a lot of road noise. But anyway, I'm wondering how you respond to the skeptic, the scoffer, the atheist who used Psalm 137, verse 8. I guess you could read, real, not verse 8, verse 8 and 9, but especially verse 9, to say that we are advocating violence against babies and to try to squelch, among things, our defense of the unborn and against abortion and all of that. So how do you respond to it? I have my way, but what do you usually say?
Well, first of all, let's read it so people can hear what it says. I'll read verses 8 and 9 out of Psalm 137. O daughter of Babylon, you devastated one, how blessed will be the one who repays you with the recompense with which you have repaid us. How blessed will be the one who seizes and dashes your little ones against the rock. And so this is what's called an imprecatory psalm. And an imprecatory psalm deals with wishing harm upon others. And it's a tough one. I mean, it is, but there's ways to look at it. And we'll do that. I'll examine it. One of the things about it is that it doesn't say that it actually happened. Okay. So the fact that God allowed people their sinful desires and he worked within their culture to permit all kinds of bad things, that's one of the things that's going there. You know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And the psalmist is speaking in such a way that he wants the, because it says even before then, remember, in verse 7, remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, raise it. That's R-A-Z-E, which means to destroy. Raise it to its foundation. He's responding, the psalmist is responding with a very strong invective. So, two things. One, if the two things. Okay, this is what I do with the atheists. I say, is it morally wrong to do? If they say yes, then I'm going to jump on them and say, then what's the universal moral standard you have? They don't have it. And then they have to go to what's called an internal critique. And that's what we'll go to here and after the break. We've got a break coming up. So hold on, okay?
All right.
We'll get back to this. So hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, you can, 877-207-2276. All right, let's get back to Eric from Charlotte. Are you there?
I am here,
Okay. So the basic response on an internal critique is that they have to go in and analyze the text. What I tell them is that nowhere does it say that God approved of what the psalmist was wishing. Nowhere does it say that it was carried out either. So what is actually the case is that the psalmist is wishing a curse upon the people who the same retribution upon them that they received at the hands of the Babylonians. So he's just wishing a curse on them. And, you know, in the Christian context, we wouldn't wish that. That this is what's recorded. And what he's doing is wanting recompense. He's wanting, this is what you do, this is what you're going to get back. And made it happen to you. And that's what he's saying. So right or wrong, that's what it is. Okay?
Yeah, I thank you so much. That's pretty much how I like the way you put it there. My response is one of that he's not saying, the psalmist is not saying that he's or the Jewish people are going to do that. He's saying those who are going to come after you they're the ones who are going to be happy to do that to your children. And so it is obviously a gross twist by those who obviously don't know the Lord and don't know the Word of God, because the psalmist is saying that the Jews are going to do it. He was saying those who are going to do that to you, they're going to be happy to do it, but this is also part of the thing that you deserve. You're getting paid back what you've done. And so I appreciate right. you sharing it that way. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what it is. And a lot of people forget that the Bible in the Old Testament, it's a lot of history. There's a lot of bloodshed. There's a lot of bad stuff going on. And the psalmist is whoever it is. We don't know who, because there are many authors of the Psalms. But he was wishing retribution upon the people who did the very thing to Israel and the horrific thing that they did. He says, may it be done to you. That's what he's doing. And it may not be the case that he's actually wishing that specific thing, because in the Jewish mind, it could be, but in the Jewish mind also, they would speak in such ways that a curse for a curse, an eye for an eye, and just speaking that way. And it means, may you lose an eye over this, as you have done to us. Yeah. And it may not be that they're actually wishing that it happened, but that they get what's coming to them. Okay.
Yes. One thing people fail to understand is that, you know, death is not an easy thing to perform, to accomplish. God did it, of course.
Right, it's not.
Of course, life is in the hands of the Lord. You know, it's appointed of men to die, and God may just take your breath away, or he may allow an accident to occur, or he may allow someone to take your life. And there's no easy way, but there's no way in the world the scripture is saying that God was encouraging the Jews to throw babies down. I mean, of course they had to destroy certain nations, but I'm sure that whatever they did it in the quickest way possible, and it's a bloody thing for life to be taken, but sometimes God requires life to be taken, and he does it through the hands of men. And I thank you so much. Go ahead. I thank you so much, my dear brother. You got other callers, and I'll say my next question for another day.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot, man. God bless.
God bless you too, brother, man.
Okay. Well, that was Eric from Charlotte, North Carolina. We have four open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Shannon from Charlotte, North Carolina. Shannon, welcome. You're on the air. Shannon? Hello, Shannon. Yeah? Shannon, are you there? Well, you know what, folks? If you want, you can give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And just kind of stalling with her, and hopefully maybe she can fix the phone. I'll leave it open while I do some email questions. We've got some of those. Let's see. That one I've already answered about Hank Hanegraaff. It's really too bad that he went into Eastern Orthodoxy. It really is. It's, you know, I was talking to Roman Catholic and an Eastern Orthodox people in the past couple of weeks. You know, I talk and do impromptu debates. And it's really amazing to me to see how people, and I talked to my wife about it, to see how people just refuse Scripture, just refuse to believe what it says. And you know, I've known that for years, of course, but lately it's really starting to intrigue me when something is so clearly taught, it's right there, and then they just refuse it. And I'll repeat things to them. I remember once I was talking to a guy about what a certain verse actually said. You know, it was Colossians 2:14, where Jesus nailed the certificate of debt to the cross. It was finished at the cross, canceled at the cross. And it literally took 20 minutes for him to finally admit what the text said. And it was really interesting, because he did not want it to support my theology, because he hated my theology, and he wanted his theology to be true, and he refused to just acknowledge what the actual wording was. And it took 20 minutes before he finally did. And I asked him, I said, why would it do that? You should just, if your theology is so good, shouldn't it just agree with Scripture right from the beginning? Why do you have to deny what it says? Why does it take 20 minutes to get you to admit what the text actually even says? And it's interesting that as I look at people in cults and I see them behave this way, I get it. But Christians do it too. They get so loyal to an ideology that they submit the scriptures to that ideology. And that's idolatrous. They should be careful. Let's get to Ricky from Virginia. Hey, Ricky, welcome here on the air.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, how are we doing, man?
Hey, okay.
You there? Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. Matt, I appreciate your ministry. Listen to you as often as I can, and I really appreciate the work that you do. I have a question that pertains to the book of John, chapter 10, verse 34. In the, it says, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods." Mm-hmm. Now, the NASB, in the 1995 version, it has a capital G for mm-hmm. gods. All the other modern versions has a small G. I just wanted to call and see what your take is on that.
The reason the NASB, and I'm looking at that exact version, it's my standard version I use. It says, "I said you are gods," are all in the cap, which means it's a quote from the Old Testament.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, so, and it's a quote from Psalm 82. That kind of threw me off.
It's all right.
Right, right. And even in the Psalms, when I pull that up, it's a small G.
Well,
not a capital G.
Okay. Okay. So generally, you don't want to pay attention to caps and not caps when you have a question like that,
okay.
Because in the Greek, it's not there. Okay. It's just exist. Yeah. So, like, I'm looking at the Greek. You know, ego epi este theoi, and it says, you know, it's just the letter for. The capital T, it's not a capital T, it's just, theoi, it's, you know, gods. That's it. And so what we do in English, what they'll do in English is, if it's referencing God, like in verse 36, you know, he says, "Are you upset with me because I said I am the Son of God?" And the word God there is capitalized. But it's the same word, theo, okay? So...
Oh, okay.
All right? Oh, interesting, I think
it might
be a capital there. Anyway, so that's all it is. And you see, quote from Psalm 82:6. That's all it is. And it's an imprecatory psalm. And, you know, he says, because the unrighteous judges were having the power of life and death. They were, so what Jesus is doing is quoting that as a mockery against and judgment against, actually a judgment against the Jews at that place who were condemning him. Okay.
Yeah, and it says in the next verse, chapter 35, it says, if he called them gods with a Lord G, mm-hmm. unto whom the word of God, capital G, came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. I was just curious because, like I say, the NASV is the only one that capitalized gods in that verse, mm-hmm. even in Psalms, as, capital G. All the other modern versions has it in a small G.
In which exact verse?
John chapter 10, verse 34.
34. Okay, I'll check it out during the break. You want to hold on? I'll look at different versions.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Welcome back. And if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Ricky, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, so I looked at some other translations, and, make sure I'm following you correctly. He says in verse 34, I looked at the wrong one, but he says, "You are gods," and so all the other translations don't have it capitalized. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah, yes. Because it's a real simple reason. Because in the NASB, they capitalize a quote from the Old Testament. It's all in caps. It's a designation. Hey, that's from the Old Testament. Here's the exact quote. That's what it is.
Okay. I thought that the verse in Psalms referred to when they mentioned ye are gods.
Okay.
Is the fact that back then, all of those who were in administering law, like judges and punishment for laws, was referred to as God with a Lord G.
Okay, you're not understanding.
Okay.
If there was a quote in the Old Testament and he walked by the water, okay, and something like that, they quoted in the New Testament, then he walked by the water, would all be in caps. Because it's just the way the NASB 95 does it. It just puts Old Testament quotes, it just puts them all in caps. That's all it does. That's all that's going on. That's why the whole word. So I said, ye are gods, you are gods. I is capital. The word said is capital. You is capital. R is capital. Gods is capital. All of it is just capitals because it's a quote in the Old Testament. That's just how they do that.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Sure. No problem, man. All right? Okay, brother. Okay, God bless. All right. Now let's get to Charisse from Charlotte, North Carolina. Charisse, welcome. You're on the air. Are you there? Charisse.
Hello?
Charissa, I think your name is. Hi. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. My question is, what would you tell a person that says once saved, always saved? And I know that sin is what separates us from God.
Well, I believe that once we're saved, we're always saved.
God.
I believe we're always saved once we're saved. We cannot lose it. That's my opinion. Do you think we can lose salvation? Well, do you think we can lose it?
No, I don't think we can lose it, but I know that sin breaks your relationship with God.
Oh, sure, it can affect it. It can surely make it troublesome, but God will never leave us or forsake us. Okay?
Right.
Yeah. There's a Greek construction in John 6:39. For all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I certainly will not cast out. I will certainly not cast out. In the Greek, it's oume. It's two words, and it's an emphatic form. It's called emphatic negation subjunctive. And it means, it's like saying, no, not even anyway, no way. It's like saying that. So he says he'll no way cast him out, ever. Okay?
It's in John 6:35.
In John 6:35 it says that, too. I'm the bread of life who comes who comes to me will not hunger. It says, and that's oume, will never, ever, ever hunger. And he who believes in me will never, that's number third, that's oume also. Never, ever, ever. Not going to happen, not even possible. That's what he's saying. It's a very strict Greek construction to designate an absolute. Okay? Are you there?
Okay.
All right.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you're right. Sin can affect our relationship with God. And he, you know, will be patient with us, hoping we'll repent. And then if we don't, sometimes he disciplines us. And I've been disciplined, let's say, more than once. And one time very significantly. And praise God, my youthful exuberance of stupidity after I walked with Christ. And so he's just never going to leave us or forsake us. It's just not going to happen. Okay? Are you there? You have any questions about that?
Yes. No, thank you.
Okay. Okay, well, then good. All right, well, God bless. Okay.
You be blessed as well.
Okay, thank you. All right, you know, I think, because we had no callers waiting right now, if you want to call me, 877-207-2276. You know, a lot of people teach that you could lose your salvation. And my position is that you cannot. Now think about this. If God has really redeemed you, then he's indwelling you. That means he's regenerated you. Is it possible for you to undo the work of God? Is it possible for you to rebel against him and then lose your salvation? Well, that's a problem. Because let's think about this. If you lost your salvation, then that would mean that all of your sins were not forgiven. Because if a person hypothetically got saved at 30 and then became a non-Christian at 50, hypothetically, I don't believe it's possible, but hypothetically, then those sins afterwards are not forgiven. Well, but wait a minute. How could he have been saved in the first place if all of his sins were not forgiven, even the future ones? Well, then the common response is, well, you see, he's only saved, the sins are only paid for up to the point of believing. And then the rest of them he's got to confess. He's got to maintain his position. And it becomes heresy to say, to teach this. There's, you know, we can get into quite a bit of logic problems with this position. But no, Jesus said he'll never lose any. People will say, well, we can lose ourselves. But that's not what the issue is between the Father and the Son in John 6:37-40. It's the will of the Father that Jesus lose none. Not that you can lose yourself. It's that the Father doesn't want Jesus to lose any. Well, if you lose yourself, then Jesus failed. And that is a problem. You can't have that. All right. Let's get to Michael from Raleigh, North Carolina. Michael, welcome in on the air.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. So what do you got, man?
Good. In terms of what the question that was just asked, I kind of have the same similar question. The verse that Jesus says, I never knew you, get away from me. Mm-hmm. Even though we've done things in your name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus says, I never knew you. Get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like someone who says they're you know, they believe in God, but they're just non-repentant.
Okay. Well, do you have a question, or I'm not sure what's your question?
The question is what do you say to someone who will proclaim God and tell you they believe in God, but they do not live a life of repentance?
Well, the Bible says in 1 John 2:4, if you say you know him and don't keep his commandments, the truth is not in you, and you're a liar. Okay.
So they're not saved from the beginning.
That's right. They're just lying. They're lying to themselves. They're lying to others. They don't know. And so, you know, when we're saved, we're not saved by what we do, and we're not kept by what we do. But the thing is that if you're a Christian, that means you're regenerated. It means you're going to have a change of heart, a change of attitude, and you're going to war against your sin. But if there's no change in a person who professes Christ and then lives like the devil, then he's not a Christian. He's a self-deceived liar. Okay?
Yeah, I understand. Well, I appreciate that.
Sure. Okay? Anything else? Okay.
No, I have a buddy who trying to help him out a little bit, but kind of difficult.
Have him call the show, you know, if he's a Christian. And if he's not, you know, I've told people before over the air, you know, been in radio over 20 years so far. And I've told people over the air, I've said, "Look, you don't sound like a Christian. You don't behave like one. If you were to die right now, you'd probably go to hell." I can't say for sure, but from what you're telling me, it does not look good. You need to repent. You need to come to Christ. And sometimes that's what's needed, you know, to tell them. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right, man. Well, God bless.
Have a great night.
Okay, you too. All right. Well, that was Michael from Raleigh, North Carolina. You know, I'd have to get out to Raleigh, North Carolina. I would. I'd have to get out there. Because I know a lot of people hear me out there, and I'd love to get out to a few churches. And you know, it'd be fun. I like doing this. I've done this before. Is go to a town, and did this in Salt Lake City because my radio show's down in Salt Lake, and went to said, okay, everybody, we're going to be at a certain restaurant at a certain date and a certain time. Show up. And people show up, and it's fun. And we've had good dinners and fun like that. It'd be fun to do something like that in Raleigh. Fly out there, speak in a church or something like that. And then, you know, it's like, just say that the big restaurant, we're going to say, hey, we're going to announce this on the radio, and we don't know how many people are going to come, but hey, you know. Or we might even get a, you know, an RSVP. So we know. We can go in there, and people can meet. It'd be fun. It'd be fun to do something like that. I'd go out there for that. Fly out there. I'd love to speak at a church, though. I'd like to teach. It's a lot of fun. I get to do that in Pennsylvania in about 4 weeks. Actually, about 3.5 weeks. And I'll be teaching on the Trinity as it relates to the perichoresis, and also the undefiled and absolute deity of Christ. Two awesome topics. I'll be talking about the nature and extent of the Trinitarian communion, and what the perichoresis is in the person of Christ, and how it relates. But I have to lay down the foundation first, and that'll prep the waters, so to speak, for the next thing I have to speak at there an hour or two later on the deity of Christ. Oh, what a pleasure that's going to be, defending Jesus. He is God in flesh. Oh, that is so wonderful. I'm just loving it. Loving the thought of being able to do that. One of my favorite topics to do, along with the doctrine of salvation. So, there you go. All right. So, let's see. So, anyway, I'm hoping that those of you who are listening, I've only got about a minute left in the show or less. I hope that you are secure in Jesus and that you know you're saved. But if by chance you're having doubts in your heart because you're not as good as what you need to be, what you think you should be, but you want to be saved, you want to be right, and you're making a lot of mistakes, then that's a sign of being saved. It is. Being saved doesn't mean we always have absolute victory in every area, but it does mean we struggle. It means we fail still, and that, you know, Hebrews 13:5, God will never leave us or forsake us. And what you need to do is trust in Him. Decide to rest in what Jesus did, in spite of how you may feel. And then your sins, confess them to Him, and do your best to stop them. And follow Him. And when you fail, you go back to that cross. But don't use that cross as an excuse to sin. That's not good. There's consequences to that. May the Lord bless you, and by His grace, we'll be back on the air tomorrow, and we'll put the Bible study link information up tonight on carm.org/calendar, and you'll see that. God bless everybody. Talk to you later. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.